Welcome to Time to Talk Fertility, Beyond the Lab Coat, a podcast from Fertility Centers of Illinois. I'm your host, Caitlin White. Join us as we go behind the scenes with Dr. Channing Burks Chapman, a reproductive endocrinologist, to discover what inspires her work, how she connects with patients, and what drives her passion for helping families grow. Real stories, real purpose, real care. Well, doctor, my first question for you is pretty simple. Can you please share your name and your credentials, your work title with us?
Yes, my name is Channing Burks Chapman, and I am one of the REI, so Reproductive Endocrinology and Infertility Physicians at the Fertility Centers of Illinois in Chicago.
Well, what inspired you to pursue medicine and specifically reproductive endocrinology?
I feel like I've always been drawn to medicine. Even as a child, it was always a dream, a goal I set for myself. And I would say that when I was in high school, I was really kind of trying to decide if I wanted to go into the field of medicine versus be a lawyer. And one of my biology teachers, she will forever hold a special place in my heart. She really wrote me a personalized note, just kind of encouraging me to go into medicine. She thought I had all the tools that I needed, and I never looked back from there. In regards to specifically why I chose to be a reproductive endocrinologist, I was quickly drawn to the field of OBGYN during my rotation as a medical student third year. And then after my first exposure to REI in residency, I just really thought that it was a special field. You really get to develop a special relationship, long-lasting relationship with your patients. And to me, it was really considered an honor to be able to help patients to really build their family. It's really just something that I'm really proud of that I get to do every day.
Oh, I love to hear it. Well, is there a particular moment that reaffirmed why you chose this field?
So I think there maybe hasn't just been one particular moment, but I do think one of the best parts of being an REI is getting that note or a patient writing to let us know that they have had their successful live birth. I think that just really allows me to feel very grateful for what I do every day. And just, I'm so happy for my patients and learning that they've had their daughter or their son. I really can't think of anything that is better than that.
Of course. Well, how do you hope to make a difference or an impact in your patients' lives?
I just hope that I can really help them to feel supported, whether or not we have success together or not. Infertility can be a very hard and lonely, vulnerable journey. And so I think one of my top goals is to help them to know that I'm really there to stand alongside them and help them to feel supported.
And what drives your passion for helping both individuals and families on their journeys to parenthood?
I think one of the things that helps me to remain passionate in the work that we do is just being driven by the love and gratitude that I have for my own family. I can't imagine where I would be without them and the roles that they've played in my life. So for me to be able to help my patients to start or expand their own family, it's something that's really important to me.
And looking more so at maybe your day-to-day, how would you describe your approach to patient care?
I would describe my approach to patient care as really focusing on the patient-doctor relationship. I really try to listen to each, unique story for each patient, to look at their test results, to try to help come up with an individualized treatment plan based on not only their tests, but also their goals.
And what's most important to you when guiding a patient through their treatment?
I think it is very important to provide science-based evidence to every approach, but I also do try to also rely on shared decision-making. So to keep their goals in mind and try to also be very respectful of their wishes. Having a child is a very personal journey. So while I do want to guide them and tell them what is maybe the most evidence-based decision, I also want to be really respectful of the choices that they make in regard to how they want to build their family.
Of course. And you mentioned being a supportive figure in your patients' lives is important to you, of course. So how do you help patients feel that support and feel empowered throughout their journey?
I think it's important to make sure that when I'm talking to patients, counseling patients, to really talk to them about what all their options are. And then I like to discuss why I recommend one option over the other, whether that's based on their test results or the size family that they're trying to have. Usually it's a mix of both. But I think it's helpful to go through all the options first before describing what you recommend and why.
Well, that leads me a bit into my next question. How do you balance things like science and technology with that empathy in your work?
I would say I tried to balance the science and the technology with the patient relationship by always just trying to strive to be supportive and to really build a strong relationship so that we can talk about, yes, the science and what it means, but also keep in mind what their goals are.
And do you have any special areas of clinical interest within your practice, and what draws you to them?
Prior to my training in RAI, I did complete a fellowship in recurrent pregnancy loss and helping patients that have struggled with miscarriages. Miscarriages are also very hard. That is important to me to help them to feel support in that journey. I also have a special place in my heart for women with polycystic ovary syndrome. It's something that many of my family members and friends personally have struggled with. So I feel that I have always had a special interest in that. And then I think trying to just really be a good support system for underrepresented areas of medicine. So those that might fall under racial or socioeconomic disparities, it's really important for me to make those patients feel like they are really welcome as well.
Well, let's get a bit more into your background now. Where did you complete your medical education, residency, and fellowship training?
So I am originally from Indiana. So I completed my undergraduate training at Indiana University in Bloomington. And then I did my medical school training at Indiana University as well, but in Indianapolis. And then decided I wanted to try to move to a bigger city, be exposed to more volume. So that is when I came to Chicago and I did my residency at Rush University Medical Center. Completed my RPL or recurrent pregnancy loss fellowship as well in Chicago, and then traveled to Cleveland, where my husband is from. And that is where I did my RAI fellowship at Case Western or University Hospitals in Cleveland before coming back to Chicago.
Wonderful. Well, is there anything you learned in those early days or along the way through your schooling that continues to shape your approach today?
I think one thing I like to carry along is that it's really important to take the time to go through your patient's history, to allow them to explain their story, because oftentimes you're going to learn something that's really going to help to dictate the testing that you want to do, or maybe even the care that they need moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And what excites you most about the future of reproductive medicine?
You know, what's really exciting about our field, so the field of reproductive medicine, is that it's always changing. It's always evolving, trying to move forward. There's always research being done, applying new technologies, really trying to evolve the field to try to get better outcomes for our patients. And so being an REI is really committing to a lifelong commitment to learning, to grow with the field as it changes. And that's always something that's exciting to me.
And doctor, do you speak any additional languages?
I do not speak fluently any additional languages. I took Spanish for a long time and even through college, but I just feel like it's not something that I use every single day.
Well, doctor, what do your patients say that they often appreciate most about working with you?
I would say that what I have learned, or the feedback that I've gotten from my patients, is that they really appreciate my commitment to the doctor-patient relationship, that I strive to, yes, focus on evidence-based medicine, but also really take the time to listen to them, their story, their desires, and their goals. And so that we really have this strong patient-doctor relationship. I think that that is what I have learned that my patients really appreciate most.
Well, on that note, you just mentioned a few things. Really listening and engaging with your patients is important to you. So how do you build that trust and meaningful connection with your patients?
I try to show my patients I care by taking the time to listen, by following up with them as I state that I'm going to. And I think I also try to remember little things about each one. So if they have other children already, I like to know what their names are. If they have grown up in a certain area, not Chicago, maybe Indiana, where I'm from, or try to find something in common that we have that we can talk about, whether we both like sports or we both like to work out or just something that makes them not just a patient to me, but a person. Try to connect on that level as well.
Well, this fertility journey can unfortunately be long and frustrating for some patients. Now, what advice do you often share with patients who are feeling more anxious or discouraged?
I would say I always want to try to encourage my patients, first of all, to be validated in their feelings that infertility, having multiple miscarriages, is very hard and that they shouldn't be ashamed of the way that they're feeling, but also that they should be encouraged to reach out for help. So if they feel that they need that extra support, I want to be there to help guide them to know where they can find it, whether that's with myself, my nurses, our team, support groups, finding a family member, friend that they feel that they can trust with their story, just other areas where they can find support because the journey can be hard and very long.
Of course. And what message of encouragement would you share with those still hoping to build their families?
I would like to encourage all those out there that might be impacted by infertility or recurrent pregnancy loss to not give up hope, that they should seek an REI if they feel like they need testing, if they need answers, if they feel like they haven't gotten the answers that they feel like they deserve. I would let them know that to continue to advocate for yourself and to maybe look for a different doctor. It's really important to be with someone that you trust.
Have you ever had any patients that taught you a lesson?
I think my patients have really taught me or reminded me to remain resilient. That, you know, I see them when the going gets tough to not give up, that they keep fighting, they keep hoping, they don't give up. They are steadfast, even if there's obstacles in front of them. And I think that's something that I try to carry with me. And I think we could all stand to do more so in our lives every day. Just keep trying.
Absolutely. I love that. Well, I'd also love to step outside of you as the doctor and get to know a bit more about you as the person, kind of. To start off, outside of medicine, what brings you joy or balance?
It probably sounds generic, but I really just love being around my family, being around my friends. They help me to just, you know, remind me of who I am and why I do what I do every single day.
Of course. Not generic at all. We all love that. Well, what else do you like to do for fun? Any hobbies, interests, sports, things like that?
I would say one of the top things I love to do for fun, I really do enjoy watching sports. I played sports growing up. It's something that I've always watched with my family, now my husband. I'm from Indiana, so I'm a big all things Indiana fan. So the Hoosiers, the Pacers, the Colts. I also still really enjoy working out, even though not in sports anymore. I still love to always try to get a workout in when I can.
Now, is there anything people might be surprised to learn about you?
I think one thing that maybe not everyone knows about me is that I said I went to Indiana. So I went to Indiana University for undergrad or college, and I was a Division I cheerleader all 4 years while I was there. So that is probably something that most people don't know.
Now, for our next segment, we're going to get fun with it. And I have 5 questions that are pretty random, but just going to help us get to know you a bit better. So, doctor, as a kid, what did you dream of becoming when you grew up?
Honestly, when I was in first grade, I told my parents that I wanted to be the first female African-American president, which I'm not really sure what drove that, but it is something that stuck with me through all of elementary school. That was what I told everyone, and a very, you know, lofty goal. I'm very happy what I'm doing now, but that is what I wanted to be when I was in first grade.
Hey, that's awesome. I love dreaming big as a 6-year-old.
Yeah. That's a bar high, I guess.
I guess doctor is, you know, just as good as president or whatever. Now, if you could instantly be great at any Olympic sport, what would it be?
I think I would have to pick gymnastics. I love watching gymnastics during the Olympics. Never without fail, I watch every gymnastic event. If I'm going to miss it, I record it. I am going to go back and watch it. I love all sports, really, but I really love watching gymnastics during the Olympics.
That's a really good one. So do I. And how do you take your coffee in the mornings?
I love coffee. No sugar, just cream. Specific on the brand, I always brew like Starbucks coffee in my machine. I will like put it in the night before, turn it on, and I wake up in the morning. I feel like my day is not starting off on the right foot if I didn't bring my own coffee to work.
I like the planning ahead the night before. That's super smart.
Yeah, it's too early in the morning to do it.
And how about some music? What's the best concert you've ever been to?
The best concert I've ever been to was just recently. I saw Beyonce, Soldier Field, Cowboy Carter. Saw it with my two sisters. It was amazing. I would go see it over again in a heartbeat. Really, all her concerts have been great. But to date, I think that's my favorite.
Ugh, I'm so jealous. And then my last of these fun and lighthearted cues, do you have a movie or a TV show that's your guilty pleasure or something that you just watch over and over and over?
I am thankful to two shows. I've watched them multiple times. My two favorite shows of all time or series are Sex and the City and Scandal. I could watch them over and over and over again like it was the first time.
Absolutely. Well, just a few more questions, Doctor. When it comes back to fertility and the work you do, what does National Infertility Awareness Week mean to you?
National Infertility Awareness Week really, to me, is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to spread awareness to patients, to just know and understand how common infertility is, and to really guide them that if it's something that they've been struggling with, that they should really seek out care so that they can start the journey to trying to have a more successful option to having a family.
And on that note, why is it just so important to talk openly about infertility?
I think it's really important that we normalize conversations surrounding fertility because fertility issues are so common. They affect 1 in 6 couples. That's what, 15 to 20% of the population. I think that people need to know they're not alone. But I also think in order to get better fertility insurance coverage for all patients, we need to continue to educate and normalize conversations that support fertility and fertility coverage.
What are some words of encouragement you would share with your patients navigating infertility?
For those out there that are struggling with infertility, I would encourage them to seek care, evaluation, and treatment. And also, I would encourage them not to give up, that the journey might be hard. However, we are able to help many have success. So just please don't give up.
And how can that awareness and education we were just talking about help break that stigma around fertility challenges?
I think awareness, education are very important for breaking the stigma surrounding fertility. I think it's important for people to understand how common it is so that we can get more people to support fertility care and to really start recognizing it as a medical condition, just like we do for high blood pressure and diabetes.
What should patients look for when choosing a fertility clinic?
I think that patients should really focus on first finding a doctor that they can have a strong relationship with, right? A doctor that they trust, one that provides nursing care. Nurses are so important to everything that we do here, as well as asking questions about the lab. So I think the lab and success rates, number of cycles that are done per year is in the lab are also very important overall to a patient's overall success.
And what would you say sets Fertility Centers of Illinois apart from other fertility clinics?
So I'm really honored to be a part of the Fertility Centers of Illinois team. I think what sets us apart, a few things. First and foremost, we have many doctors. So that means that our hope there is that you would be able to find someone that's a great fit for you. Two, we have several locations. I think this offers advantages, meaning you should be able to find a clinic that's not too far away from where you live. I also think it's great that you can have monitoring at any clinic. So if you're normally seen at River North, for instance, but you have a work meeting at Glenview, you can go to Glenview that day, get your monitoring done there, and your results will still go to your primary physician. I think that's a wonderful benefit. And then lastly, I think a major benefit is our lab. So we really have a great embryology team, and we really have great success because of the hard work and advances that they've made over the last few decades. They're a really great team.
Wonderful. Well, doctor, thank you so much for joining us today. That was Dr. Channing Burks Chapman. For more information, you can head on over to fcionline.com/doctors and search for Dr. Burks Chapman. If you enjoyed this podcast, please share it on your social channels and check out our entire podcast library for topics of interest to you. I'm Caitlin White, and this is Time to Talk Fertility. Thanks for listening.